So Bronny go 55th to the Lakers, and people got they own 2 cents or whatever to put in on that. Like, oh, what the fuck is the problem? We all, like, who didn't know that he was getting drafted by the Lakers? Was it anybody that didn't know this shit was happening? Like, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I think everybody knew he was going to get drafted by the Lakers. If it wasn't for the Lakers, he was going to go undrafted. We all knew what that was. You know what I'm saying? And I had people talking about, oh, man, we wasted a draft pick. Nigga, do you know second-round picks is don't even, like, it don't even matter. Like, their contract is not, like, guaranteed or anything like how these first round, I think all first round picks contracts are guaranteed. Second round is more your two way players and your G League and all that other type of stuff. So, and it was just, I don't know, that was crazy, man. It was like, I know y'all ain't complaining about the 55th pick. Yeah, like he was the first picker for the Lakers.
Exactly.
The most, because everybody I talked to, the people who didn't like it, the most they were saying was they didn't like how LeBron was able to dictate the organization by picking his son, and basically to the rest of the NBA, basically saying, when the agent came out to say, man, don't pick him, or you know it's gonna be a problem. It's like, okay, well, shit, do he got that much power over the NBA? And then people just, I guess they mad at that. I mean, I'm happy with the fact that he is able to dictate the fact that nigga, my son go to the team I'm playing for, shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. And people saying, oh, nobody else gonna draft him. That's not true necessarily. Because now let me say this. Was he a draftable player? No, I don't think so. But he is LeBron James' son. And this ain't like when Mike Kidd was around. Because people was talking about like Michael Jordan, Marcus Jordan, you know, how like they had better numbers and whatnot. But the difference is, in this day and age, Bronny already has presence, media presence. So what you're getting at this point is free eyes, especially at a late pick. So it's like, shit, if we take Bronny, yeah, we might as well just take him this late, like at this point in the game, just because we're going – bring a few more eyes and asses to the seats because it's LeBron James' son. Because people going to want to see if he get to play. You know what I'm saying? If nothing else, like even he just getting dirt minutes, which I can tell you right now, what's more than likely going to happen is Bryant going to come out, you know, play some summer league. They'll give him a little burn. And then he's going to end up going probably G League. Ultimately, now they probably gonna call him up just so him and LeBron can technically play together, just so that they can have that to be the first father son to ever play in an NBA basketball game together. That's it. Like this is all it's been. Bron been saying this years ago that he wanted to be the first father son to play in the NBA. He himself got to know that if Bronny's an NBA player, he's not ready yet. If he is indeed an NBA player. But, like, it's wild to me, too, because I'm like, bro, this how nepotism works. I know we're not used to it as black people because we're usually not in a position to reward nepotism, or however you would say that, award nepotism. We're usually not the person that's on the right side of nepotism. I'll put it that way. We're usually on the wrong side of the shit. But you goddamn right. Just like Ice Cube said with his son. Goddamn right I'm putting my son in these movies. He want to act, he's an actor. I've seen him do it. I've been in Hollywood for years now. The fuck I look like not putting my boy in these movies? And he's not a bad actor. Number one, his son's actually a decent actor. So why wouldn't I? So my issue with it is people like, you know, oh, he just getting this because that's his dad. Yeah. Just like Jerry Jones do for all his kids. Go look at the Dallas Cowboys organizational chart. And see how many Joneses. You think Jerry Jones was finna just give all his money away to all these other people when he got all these kids that could do the same thing? Cause all you're doing is, you know, making decisions on what to do, whatnot. So yeah, to me it was a little crazy, like, and I get it, because we just ain't used to it. That You know, oh, this is, yeah, it's nepotism. That's how this shit's supposed to work. This is how it's supposed to work. I'm glad it happened for the kid. You know what I'm saying? Do I ultimately think he's going to end up being an NBA player? No. I think this will probably be a 3-year experiment. He'll probably bounce around, you know, maybe play a little G League ball for, you know, a year or two, and then kind of realize he probably not NBA material. And then he'll, you know, more than likely just go ahead and move on to other ventures in life. That guess what them ventures gonna be fueled by? Nepotism. It's gonna be the same shit. His pop gonna give him some bread. Or, you know, LeBron owned like production companies in LA, all kind of shit. So he might go into movies. That's what you're supposed to do, people. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. I know damn well my kid will be getting whatever I got. Oh, we doing that. We're gonna keep this money going. We're gonna keep our family secure and away from poverty. So that's my take. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, man. You know, being black, man, that's a part of life. We never was taught that we supposed to create opportunities and for our family and stuff like that, our children. So it's like, you know, most black people are upset about it. I don't know why. We should be celebrating the fact that he did that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man.
People act like you're cheating. You know, they're cheating. They do. I mean, maybe. But not really, because that's the line that's the bar that's been set. That's what's been happening. You've seen it happen to you and in front of you. So you're supposed to be celebrating the opportunity when we can do it. It's just like, remember OJ, the general consensus in the black community was, oh, OJ did that shit. But it was one of the first times one of us got away. So niggas was celebrating something fucked up, to be honest with you, because you think the dude murdered somebody, but it's like, yeah, but we get nailed to the cross 100 times to 1. You know, the same white dude can commit the same crime, the same black dude, and black dude get 5 times the amount of punishment for it. So, you know, that's how y'all need to look at the LeBron shit. Put the LeBron hate aside. I mean, hell, even Marcus Jordan, he got the trophy room shit. Where do you think he get trophy room from? His father, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to go, y'all. Don't worry about Lakers fans. He's not getting no burn, bro. They going to put him in a game, and they're going to snap a bunch of pictures.
Yeah, they're going to get him in a season game.
Yeah, and they're going to get him in a season game for the photo op and the, you know, it's going to happen. But it's not going to change the face of y'all franchise, I promise, man. The shit going to be, it's a media stunt. It's something the father should be doing for his son to create, you know, make a dream come true. And then, you know, unless Bronny legit improves his skill. Like, Bronny could maybe carve himself a niche if he could be like a true defensive stopper. Something like that. Like, he could carve himself out of a role like that. Because he's like 6'2". You know, shooting's okay. You know, he's just not that dynamic. But we'll see how it all ultimately.
But you know, it's crazy, right? I think Melo could have probably pulled that off too, because you know his son is going to college. I think this year coming. I think before this year coming, he a 2025 kid. He ain't signed with nobody yet, but everybody knows he's probably gonna go to Syracuse. Like, he a hooper. And he could be one and done too. And if he one and done, I mean, I could see Melo, him. I could have seen him and Melo together playing in the NBA together, because Melo, it's not like his body didn't break down or whatever. I don't think nobody probably just didn't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, that was it. Like, nothing else. You know what I'm saying? So I think they could have pulled it off too. I think it could have been another father son duo in the league at the same time. I think the only one time we saw, go ahead.
You know what I'm most upset about? I'm upset that that the goddamn Lakers hired JJ Redick. That's what I'm goddamn upset about. I'm upset.
Hey, X, but you know what, X, that you know what? Know what? It is, but you know what? This is how I see it, right? Because you got to think about it. He learned from one of the best in Coach K, right? Oh, and you got to think about it, man. No, listen, bro. No, listen. Let me give my perspective. Hello, bro. Let me give my perspective, right? Let's be honest, right? Like, nobody really wanted this Lakers job, right? Because of the fact that you had LeBron and AD. Like, who could you possibly hire that was up there other than what, maybe Tyronn Lue? Like, all it was going to do is rinse and recycle coaches. You know what I'm saying? That's all what they're doing is hey, fire him. All right. Throw him in the washer, put him in the dryer. Make sure you got some fabric softener on, and voila, he got another job. That's all what the NBA is. He's a fresh face, new blood. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot. It's only like what, four coaches right now. It is. But you know what? It's only like what, four coaches that has longevity. Which you got Spoelstra, you got Kerr, you got Popovich, and you got, it's one more out there. I can't think of the name right now. It's like four coaches that is just have been mainstays and have been continued success. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else is like the new blood, you know? So it's like, man, I think they just need a fresh, granted, yes, it's LeBron homeboy, but they just need a fresh face, man, because no Monty Williams, no Doc Rivers, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, Hurley would have been a great hire, you know what I'm saying? And they would have given him the time to do what he needed to do.
Who that?
Sam Cassell waiting for a job. They ain't called this man yet.
But he's at what? He's in Boston, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't.
Sam Cassell knows way more about basketball than JJ fucking Redick.
Yeah, but I hear you. But did he advocate to try to get that job? Because me personally, I kind of wish that.
For a job for 15 years and ain't nobody called.
Yeah. So it must be something. I mean, if he's been advocating that long, it must be something. Me personally, I would have liked Jason Kidd to have gotten that job. If he would never left, I think Jason Kidd should have gotten that job, because I think he would have been better. Because, I mean, look what he's doing in Dallas. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, it's just wait and see, man. I don't think, as long as the people we put around him is what's going to determine his success. If he has like a veteran staff, you know what I'm saying? I think he'll be okay.
LeBron James is going to determine his success. That's it. If he wins, it's gonna be because of LeBron James, not because he's a good coach or he know how to scheme up some plays. JJ Redick ain't shit but goddamn shooter.
I'll be honest with you. I think this LeBron last year, bro.
The people only watch his podcast because of LeBron James. Ain't nobody, come on, JJ Redick ain't like that, man. But hey, that's what I'm upset about. The Lakers, y'all don't really care. Let's get this man a coach who he can control, and let's fill the seats up, fill the stadium up. That's it.
Hey, you know, we got one of the GOATs, baby, Eric Spoelstra, man. We got one of the GOATs, baby.
Yeah, I don't even know who the Rockets coach is. But see, that goes to show, right?
Emile Duca, the Boston coach.
Oh, yeah. But man,
the 69 guard.
Man, freaky boy. I don't know what's wrong with being a 69 guy, though. I still don't understand. I saw Keke Palmer say that shit, too. I was like, I was thinking the same shit. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah, she a little freak. She a little freak. You know, she been a freak.
I'm not judging that lady. That is not what I'm here to do. I told y'all we not doing that, man. I'm tired of slut shaming, kink shaming. I don't shame nothing, man. Let them be who they be. Come on out and do what they do. And you either with it or you're not. You ain't got to sign up now.
You shame motherfuckers for not having fun and enjoying life. That's what you
say. Exactly. Exactly.
Hold your nose up because somebody having fun, man. What? You better go have you some fun.
Man, yeah, that would it be. They just be hating because they ain't involved with the movement. But really, one of the reasons you're not is because you constantly stepping on it. If you shut the fuck up, you might find yourself in the right room. But you constantly stepping on shit because you ain't been in the room yet. So you're like, man, that shit trash, man. That's nasty, man. Oh, you nasty too, motherfucker. You just ain't had your shot to be nasty. That's it. Now you nasty shaming. That's like them senators would be bashing the gay people, and then next thing you know, they be with them boys in the bathroom. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what's going on now. You just mad you weren't getting the action you wanted. Now your whole tune different. I'm boiling up Kachi. Yeah, JJ. But see, that go to show, like I said, JJ is a name, right? So we know the name. That's so much of what, you know, it's the sports business. Because in the NBA especially, it's such a superstar-driven league that the only coaches that you name, right? Think about the coaches you just named, Spoelstra, Pop, right? These two guys. These guys are pretty much known because they don't just run with a gang of superstars, right? It's like they take and take pretty good players, and then kind of mold them into a great system that makes them championship teams. So that the coach kind of becomes bigger than the team, but every other situation, it's the other way around. It's where the players, so it's like nobody don't really care who the coach is. You worry about who your superstars are. But then when you bring in JJ Redick, who was already an ESPN analyst, and you know, he getting burned because of him and LeBron podcast or whatever, it's just more money. They're just looking at it like more eyes. People gonna be interested in this JJ thing to see him fail or win. But one way or the other, they gonna pull up. They just gonna pull up for it. Yeah, you know LeBron, y'all coach anyway. If you're a Lakers fan, so that really who the coach quote unquote is, it's not really. And I don't even see what's so bad about that either. People be like, oh, you know, he want to be the coach. So what? He's a great basketball mind. Bill Russell coach. He was a player coach. It's just nowadays you don't have like a traditional player coach. They should just do that shit though. Yeah, why don't they just do that? Why don't they just officially make LeBron the player / coach, and then save that money you spending on you know, whatever he getting, $4 million or whatever JJ getting, and just make him the official coach. That'd be fly right there. That's what I would have done, because you ain't seen that probably since like, I think the Knicks had somebody do that like in the 70s. I can't remember. I know Bill Russell did it, but that was like the 60s.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, that's the only one I can remember was the Bill.
I feel like the Knicks had somebody doing the same thing like in the like mid to late 70s. So yeah, either way, I'm 43. I never seen it. So that's what I did. I'd be like, fuck it, you the coach any damn way. That should be fire, bro. I ain't never seen this shit before. So we just gonna make you the player coach. Anyway, shout out to Bronny, LeBron, the whole James family. Shout out Savannah, Bryce, and whatever the little girl name is. I have no idea. I don't know what her name is. Her name Bronette, LeBronia.
I don't even know.
Right. I don't know. Football. I have no idea.
Oh, shit. What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. Back in the building. Took a little bit of time off, man. We back. Ready to kick it with y'all. It's your main man, as usual, Larry. Came to kick it with y'all, man. We got some absences. We thought we had him back on the team, but the turnpike keep on calling, so... Meezy is on the road again, per usual. That's why he get the nickname from. I didn't know why they called him Turnpike Meezy. No, he never explained that to me when I, you know, they just, yeah, I just saw that. I said, okay, cool, whatever. They call Cuz Turnpike. You know, that's how he get down. Now that I've been, you know, virtually around, bro, for like 2 years now, now it all makes sense. So he's on a turnpike out there somewhere in the Altima. With three matching rims, One that's just odd. The tire different too. It's purple, and the front tag say princess on it. Y'all make it that what you will, man. Anyways, but I do have with me Real Field General, the homie X. X, say what up to the people.
What's up? We back, man. We back in the building. 26 degrees. Y'all make sure y'all follow us on Twitter, man. We going to start pumping out some more content, especially, you know, football season getting closer and closer, man. So we here. We here to stay.
Yes, about that time. And also with us, my main man, D-Rob, Rob D., the switch hitter.
Yes, sir. What's going on, everybody? What's going on, fellas? You know, we're back at it again. Got a lot of good talk coming the way, so I'm ready, man. Let's get it.
Yeah, we ain't too far, man, from rolling up in the swamp. What Trump has said, drain the swamp, about to go up in there. You know what I'm saying? Drain the water out, let the snakes show, let the gators run up out of there. Gonna pull up in their house, you know, put our feet up on the coffee table, grab a cold beer out the fridge, you know, and leave the TV on.
Tell the old lady bring us a sandwich.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, absolutely.
This we ain't gonna be just that so much special cause them fuck ass people treating our fans. So bad with tickets. It's gonna make this win so much special, man.
They trying to ice us out again.
Oh man, it's a lot of fans having problems getting tickets, man. I keep telling people, I don't know how y'all gonna do it. You're not gonna be able to get like a big bunch of group in one area. Most of the tickets that if you seen tickets for like $150, if you go back and look today. Them shit's about $300. Yeah, they doing us kind of real bad, man.
Yeah, because they know they can feel it by themselves. So what they want to do is pump the narrative that we don't support, we won't go out, show out for our team. So it's a recruiting ploy on their behalf. I've seen this before. I seen it in the league with. I remember when the Niners was going to play the Seahawks. It was freezing us out. You couldn't get no tickets. If you weren't from the right area code, they wouldn't sell you no tickets because they know we would have came in there and took that joint over. But that way you get to push the narrative. You know, you got the 12th man, you got the swamp. So it's like, oh, yeah, nobody coming out of our house. Yeah, we're coming up there. Sitting in there acting like you ain't home. You see me ringing the doorbell.
Yeah, but the truth is they just don't like Miami. So it was like they going to do everything possible to – make us uncomfortable because even season ticket holders who have season ticket away games, some of them people didn't even get their ticket. And I'm like,
I saw that. I saw a couple of those screenshots. Yeah, I saw those screenshots popping up.
But it's all good. We gonna go in there with whatever fans we got. The team gonna kick their ass, and it is what it is. We gonna kick their ass and get the hell up out of that city since they don't want us there. Going by that bitch.
I bet you they'll be the first ones out the swamp. I bet you that much. They gonna start filing out. They gonna have that long look in their face. You know what I'm saying? Then they gonna try to start fights in the parking lot because they got us outnumbered. You know what I'm saying? Careful what you wish for, though. People ain't got your back.
I'm about to say, that ain't gonna be good because the thing about Hurricane fans, they gonna fight now.
Exactly.
Go fight.
This might not go how you think it's gonna go. You know, just let it go. Pack it up, go on to the house. You know, hey, remember, you just a fan. You did all you could do. You cheered your little heart out, man, and you made all the noise on third downs and all that, man, until your spirit was broken and you realized it wasn't enough noise for you to make. And it was time for the pack on up and you know, maybe next year. Cause I'm tell you right now, after we go ahead and beat them people, they're already gonna be on next year energy right off the rip. Cause they know what the rest of the schedule is looking like. They know what the rest of it looking like. We, you know, questionable in their eyes because last season was less than stellar. But it's not. It's just. It's we coming to kick ass, man.
We made. We've made significant improvements, man. We upgraded the quarterback position times 10. The depth is there. Ain't no question marks. Like I said, if you have any question marks, is who's going to be your starting safeties, you know? Like, that's really it. Everything else, man, is pretty much solidified and it's set in stone. Like, man. Man, I hope we build them people out, man. Yeah, I really hope we build them people out, but because I'm going to clear the whole timeline, boy. They ain't going to be able to say nothing. I'm going to come through that thing with a street sweeper, boy. It's going to be over with.
And they're going to be tight in the face. Tight in the face. Talking all that good talk. And no, we don't go line it back up for, it'll be next year, so. I'm about to say,
and little do they know, they don't know what they set themselves up for next year. Next year, it's gonna be crazy for their fans, man. Trying to tailgate with drunken King fans, yeah.
That's gonna be the problem. Oh yeah, them boys have that liquid courage in their system.
Anyways, we're still a few weeks off from that, but. I can smell it in the air, man. It's almost that time for football. But in the meantime, we get to the other part of football. When it comes to collegiate side, man, we're going to really just get into recruiting the guys that, you know, we recently made additions with. And, probably talk about some, maybe a miss or two. And some guys that we think we can get to come on in the boat, get ready to roll up in the period where, they're about to, coaching about to just really lock in and get prepared for the season, get rolling in. And at that point, that's the change too with the calendar. That's why you got so many of these kids taking these visits in the summer and getting stuff over with a lot earlier because just the way the new NCAA calendar works. So you'll have your end seasons coming, you'll have your kids that are going to flip during the season, which we'll get into a little bit. I think, we spoke on it last show. I think it'll be a flip situation where we'll be looking for the season to do a little showing and proving. And if we start out the gate, as I anticipate we will, it'll be enough for some of these kids that are either kind of on the fence or are committed, but, got one eye over there, it'll be enough to change some minds. So we'll just start with the guys, man, kind of do a rundown of everybody we've had commit in the last, I think, basically 2 weeks, essentially. So let's kick it off.
Oh, Larry, before we get into that, right? I kind of wanted to speak on that. The whole, I don't think it's going to be too many in-season visits, right? And I don't want to depend too many on too many, trying to flip too many, because remember, they moved everything up. You know what I'm saying? Like, they moved, I think they moved, the transfer portal window up, and they closed it by, 15 days. So it's only going to be, 30 days now. It's no longer 45 days. And then the signing day, they're trying to push it, I think, before the all-star games and all the, well, not the all-star game, they trying to push it before the, what's it called, man? After the last game of the season, Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. Yeah. So they're trying to, if I think it's already been approved, but that's going to be the new wave. You know what I'm saying? So, man, get what you can now and don't try to depend too much on the late season flips, because
it's still going to be a late season flip. Well, for a lot of programs, that ain't gonna change. It's just now more kids will be going to games during the beginning of the season as opposed to being at the ending of the season.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, because it's just gonna shorten the window of when they're gonna decide. That's all. I think we still gonna end up getting a few. I'm not saying I think the majority of the class will be built off of that. Right now, we're sitting at number 16. How many commits we got in this class? There are a total of, what's the number at? You don't say? Okay, well, I'll count.
Well, we had 13 or 14.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, here it is, my dumb ass. As soon as I scroll up the list, it's at the very top. I'm scrolling from the bottom. Yeah, 14 commitments at this point. We're ranked number 16. Plus, just like to do what, you know, we anticipate. I just think that's got to happen to an extent. Not that the bulk of it will be made that way, but I think we'll flip a few. Maybe we'll flip a few. I mean, that's why you're starting to see, you know, this was the way we had to go ahead and start getting this class filled up. Go ahead and start, you know, start with foundation, and then we're just building up from there to, you know, the rest of this class. I anticipate will be probably more of, you know, the ones that the fans going to celebrate more, the blue chip guys. I mean, it was funny too. I saw this the other day, and it was probably a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. And I saw a fan say, man, we got to quit doing this shit, you know, for this, meaning the kid was only a 3-star. It might have been Jaden. It might have been Wilkerson. It was one of the old linemen. Might have been Mew or whatever, right? I said, now, can you imagine a world where the coaches only celebrate the 4- and 5-star commitments? How you going to do that, bro? Like, what are y'all talking about? Y'all people get so concerned about, that be them other people. Quit letting other people work your mind so much. How the fuck the coach not going to celebrate a kid and then celebrate all these other kids? Like, well, hey, son, you know, we glad to take your commitment, but, you know, we don't celebrate 3-stars, so. You got to get your 4-star, and then we'll draw up a graphic. Because we don't talk about celebrating, bro. We're talking about Twitter. We're talking about a couple of tweets. We're talking about, you know, D-Train, you know, tweeting out 2 tweets and, you know, a retweet here and there for the, you know, from a tweet from Cooney. I'm like, so you telling me you want the coaches to treat him less than? Okay. Yeah, that's why y'all ain't in charge of shit, man. That's the dumbest shit I ever heard in my life, man. He ain't got enough stars to be celebrated. Like, y'all be worried about them people, man. Meanwhile, you outranked all the people you worried about. Florida is in the bottom. Yeah. Okay, so who'd you care about? Florida fans talking shit. We ahead of Florida State and Florida. Quit worrying about other people, bro. Keep your eye on your own porch. That way y'all motherfuckers let people trick you out your position. Sitting around here worrying about goofy shit like, oh no, don't celebrate this kid. He ain't got no stars. That shit, I had to speak on that real quick. That shit dumb as hell, bro. Don't let these people fool you like that, man. If it was your son, if it was your nephew, your cousin, you would want him to get the same fanfare as the 5-star kid, which he should.
Exactly. I agree with that. 100%.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. Y'all cut that shit out, man. Let them people live in mind rent free.
Who's we actually got, man? Let me speak on this Derry Norris situation, right? So I guess they hit me this morning, like, man, X, did you see the kid throw hat and throw the U down? Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. What that tell you?
Have fun. But the kid wasn't granted the opportunity to commit in the University of Miami. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would be upset also if I wanted to commit to Miami. Have fun.
Oh, there it is.
Who cares? We'll see you on the field.
Yeah, I mean, it is to it is what it is when they do all that stuff. Whenever you're doing all that to me, it just sounds like you hurt me. Like, again, because you're not worrying about your own business. So what are you throwing the U down for if you ain't got no business with them people? So who did he commit to anyways?
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. I mean,
okay, come on. Come on, y'all. Do the math. Come on. He threw the U down, but he committed to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech now our rival. Let's do the math. That's hurt, man. And that's okay. He a kid. Well, you know, he feel hurt. Maybe he wanted to come and they was like, nah, we good, bro. You know. But that's the business. People got to understand that. That's the business of this. Just because they offer you and pursue you at some point, they also continue to evaluate you on every level, you know, on and off the field, and may decide, nah, we're going to go a different direction. So, you know, I could tell, you know, bro hurt. That's fine. That's fine. He fine. I don't care nothing about that. I ain't know. I barely knew bro name. So when y'all even mentioned, I was like, who? Derry. No offense. I really don't.
Norris, yeah.
I really don't remember his name a lot.
He's not at the top of the board, you know. Like I'm not mad that he went somewhere else. I'm cool. There's a couple other guys. I mean, we'll get into it that I'd rather have. So, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, God bless Mr. Norris, man. Go out there and do your thing, Georgia Tech. We'll see you when we see you. It ain't no I forgot. Yeah, we ain't in the same. Ain't no division no more. So I'm sure they'll line it up. They'll have to at some point. Anyways, all right, let's look at let's do a run through, man, of the list of commits since the last time we really kind of got together and chopped it up and convened about any of the commitments made. So Campbell was, I think Campbell was the guy we were talking about on the last show. And then the next day, Wilkerson committed. And, so that's how that played out. So, yeah, we recorded the day Campbell committed, I believe. Or am I wrong there? Yeah, we did. We recorded the day Wilkerson committed.
Campbell
King. I think he was committing later on that day.
Right, and I think we was already on. We was already recording. I think, matter of fact, you had already said on the show, like, oh, yeah, he going to commit later on. But we was already in the midst of recording at that point.
Yeah,
he committed on the 18th, and we were recording, and then the 19th, we had the commitment of Jaden Wilkerson, another kid out of Orlando, another offensive lineman out of Orlando, 6'6", 330,
basketball player.
Yep. Yeah, you got another basketball player turning football player. That's why, like, some people, if you look at his offer list right now, it's not impressive. We easily the most impressive name on there, but he's kind of a more newly converted football player. He comes from a basketball family. Like, his brothers play ball, and he's got family up north, so that's why Rutgers and Syracuse was kind of down to us three, because he was looking at possibly going back, you know, back towards his family up in the north. And again, you know, when you're talking about these kids that haven't been playing football for a long time, it's going to take a minute, you know, for their name to start ramping up. And it's kind of like what I said with the previous commitment. You're going to have to trust guys like Mirrorball and Cristobal when it comes to these evals. They haven't shown me no reason not to at this point, especially when it comes down to the O-line. So, you know, we done beat the dead horse of Inez Cooper 1,000 times over, which it really ain't no sense in going back over that. You just got to look at the things that he does bring. Like I say, 6'6", 330, that don't just fall off of trees. And basketball player. So you're looking at footwork. And keeping in mind that most offensive linemen that you bring in, you're not really looking at, first off, it won't work cycle to cycle like that to bring in freshman starters at the O-line every year. It just doesn't. Like, how would you make that work? It's kind of damn near impossible. Where are they going to go? So most of the time, your offensive lineman, that's a three-year guy. That's a guy you're looking to develop technically and probably add a few or shave a few pounds off of in their first 2 years. So you're looking for more traits, things you like, long arms, you know, especially if you're looking for tackles. So you're looking for guys that have the physical traits you want that you feel like you can develop up. I would expect, like, as far as those that's kind of worried about blue chips, I would expect to look for that again probably in the 26 cycle, where it would be more intriguing to kind of bring in these guys, because you'll be looking at, you know, your Okunlola being on his third year, and then so will Maunoa. So these guys will both be third-year players by that time, and they'll be quite possibly looking at the league if not. I don't think Okunlola will. I think Maunoa could be in that position, though, by his third year. So I think next cycle you'll see more blue-chip, quote-unquote, offensive linemen into the fold. But I did like the pickup of this guy. You know, if you look at his film, I mean, he clearly needs work, but that's what you're bringing him in for. He ain't been playing football that long. You can't coach size. You know, I saw in the film this effort there. You just got to figure out the technique. And it's a very technically sound position. You got to figure out the technique, but that's what they're here for. So I think it's a great eval, great pickup. Any other thoughts on Wilkerson?
Same thing. I think it's a great pickup. You know what I'm saying? You got somebody with size. You're not getting somebody 6'6", 270, 280, where you probably try to build them up, and he could lose some of his lateral quickness and stuff that he does. You know what I'm saying? 6'6", 330, and he plays basketball. So they're looking for a lot of linemen with quick feet. You know what I'm saying? You know, all that type of stuff like that. So I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard. The offensive line is the hardest to like kind of project. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that it's so little five stars, and it is more projects out there than anything. Just find the right guys that fit what we're trying to do, which I think they have, and I trust what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I think Mirabal and Mario as offensive line coaches gonna get the best out of those guys. So I'm actually pretty cool with it. I like it.
Yeah, get the body types. Look at that room now versus a few years ago. Hell, I think our offensive line probably averaged 6'5", 320 pounds. That's probably the average now versus a guy like that. And the average probably brought down by the center. You know what I mean? Everybody else is 6'6". Our guards and our tackles are 6'6". So, you know, you're looking for massive – individuals, I mean, you know, land carriers, you know, that's you get those, yeah, you load up on them, and you're not gonna hit on everyone, but that's everything. But the only way you're gonna hit on any is it's a numbers game, so you bring them in piece by piece, and then you're gonna develop guys. It's like you develop, you know, when you develop a Cooper, there's gonna be another Cooper in these classes that's gonna be able to take to the next level. But anyway, move on down. So after him, you have, I believe chronologically, we have Amari Wallace out of Miami Central. They got him kind of listed corner. I'm hearing he's probably nickel safety. Which we need that versatility. That's so important. Your nickel spot is so important now, so that if you got a guy that can fulfill either one of those, like a lot of people compare them, you know, you heard a lot of Cam Kitchen comparison, but I don't know if Cam could, you know, play the nickel really like that. And I think Amari, he's comfortable there, and I think and capable there. 4-star kid. They got him listed at 5'10", buck 70. And from the right programs, you know, we doing good things in Central. Want to continue to keep that going. You know, this is another one of those, like, It kind of covers that fan base that, or the pundits that's always like, you got to keep local talent home. Amari falls in that category.
Oh yeah, most definitely. He's definitely. Yeah, and then he can also play the nickel too. I think we're trying to get a lot of versatile DBs, not somebody who's just strictly a safety or strictly a corner. Who can actually play all five of the positions in the backfield. I mean, the defensive backfield. Like I said, that's a great pickup. You just need somebody, and yes, there are Cam Kitchens comparisons. He's a bit on the smaller side because he's only like 170. Cam was closer to 200, or a little bit slightly over. So
yeah.
Yeah. So you get him in the weight room and watch what he do. But that's a damn good pickup. I really like it.
Yeah, another thing you gotta like about Amari too, man, willing tackler, which is, you know, Guidry harps on that in his defense, that his defensive backs gotta be willing tacklers. They gotta be guys that can get in there. And he not only willing, he's quite capable. So not the biggest dude, but you're gonna know he was there if y'all run into each other. Little dude. He ain't afraid of contact like that. Oh, I lost X. My bad. All right, we got you back, X. My bad.
Yeah.
We was just talking Wallace, man. Just kind of wrapping up on Wallace. If I don't know if you had any thoughts you want to throw in on there real quick.
Oh, Amari Wallace, man. He's a gamer. He's a gamer. He played for one of the most predominant high school football teams in the nation. Played against top competition. Was he a freshman on that team when they played against IMG? Made big plays after big play. He gonna come put that hat in your chest too. He gonna come put that in the chest. Ball hawk. Could cover man to man. Could play both safety and cornerback. So it's something that I think Guidry is recruiting guys who can play multiple positions. Just not saying you can play safety. Just not saying you can play corner, but you can play both. Because when you get into the college system, you might have to play both for your best ability for the team and then for you, you know what I'm saying, moving forward.
Yeah, I kind of hope he's like a nickel for us because of his tackling ability and his willingness. I remember when, you know, we put Corey Couch down there and I would watch game after game, teams would just strategically go at him, specifically in the run game. And they spread him out and then they run and Couch was covering because his tackling ability wasn't up to par. It got better by the time he finished, you know, Corey got better year after year after year. But it still wasn't a good facet of his game. When you get a kid like this, that he's already that tackler, he's already that aggressive guy, except put the hat in your chest. You want that kind of guy in today's game, especially, so that they can't try to spread you out and then abuse you with the run by going at your nickel, trying to go in that particular, you know, try to run things to the outside, bounce it that way. Because they know that your nickel ain't going to be able to get their running back down. So it's good to have that kind of guy. So that's what I'm hoping his future is on this team. I believe you have a super bright future there. But, again, just keeping the central to, Miami pipeline going. And we want to get these guys. We want to get these best players off of Central. Central is an amazing program. And we're doing a great job getting some of their best guys. So, absolutely zero complaints there. Great pickup. Yeah, and speaking of Central,
that's pretty much where you're going to end up playing that slot money star position in college football.
I think he made for it, man. I really think that's where certain people like that's where he's really going to shine. And I think he's going to get his payday from there. Again, even at the NFL level with so many teams at this point now, they don't just go with the, traditional line them up, cloud of dust and see who come up on the top side of it. Ah, these teams spreading the ball around, throwing the ball around. You got to have reliable nickel coverage. It's just a part of the game at this point. So it translates to the next level as well. So, you know, you want to see it here and then it continue to kind of go on to that next level. All right. Then, like I said, speaking of Central, a guy that's been, to my understanding, pretty high on the team's board for quite some time at linebacker, Ezekiel Marcelin, also played at Central. Small on the shorter side, I won't say smaller, on the shorter side for what we've been doing lately at linebacker, but an instinctive kid, great sideline to sideline speed. He just moves, and he's got good size. They got him listed right now at a buck 90. Three-star linebacker out of Miami Central, committed the next day. A few days later, actually. I lied. We had the 20th for Wallace and then the 23rd for Marcelin. Thoughts on Marcelin?
Love him. I'm going to say he's a Wesley Saint duplicate. That's him. No, a little on a smaller size, not packed, as you said, with the 6'2", 230 pounds that we've been recruiting. But he's a sideline to sideline guy. He's a thumper, very smart individual, can dissect plays very, very fast. So, you know, he gets to college, and I think he gets in the weight room and adds the weight that you want him to have as a linebacker. He won't have to come in and play immediately, you know, how Wesley had to come in and play. You know what I'm saying? So, I like it. I love it. Again, he's a Wesley Saint duplicate.
Yeah.
Same thing. I like him. I seen some of the highlights that was posted. That kid can hit. That kid can really hit. I know they've been on him for a while, and they've been looking at him for a long time. Like Yegi said, he was one of their top targets. It wasn't a plan C or anything like that. No, he was one of the top targets on the board of what they want to do. And he's not I don't expect him to come in right away and take a spot whenever he does come to campus. Give him some time to grow. Yeah, get him up 220, 230. You know, the linebackers are around that size now. So I think we're going to be good. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it in the previous shows about how much improved, again, that linebacker room is. Linebacker room don't look nothing like it did under the previous regime as far as size and speed goes. It's totally different. So at this point, you know, as you continue to bring these guys in, you're just looking to continue to load it up because, you know, just how we lost Marcellus Pullum, kid we like, but the room is a tad bit crowded. You got to remember, in today's game, you don't run three linebackers most of the time. You run two. So you're going to have some turnover. That's just going to be the nature of the beast. So you got to continue to bring in talent and develop talent. Just knowing that, you know, every year you're going to lose a guy or two to the transfer portal. They just going to feel like maybe they got a quicker path on the field at another school or a better opportunity at another school. That's what happens. So you got to continue to bring these bodies in. And actually speaking of, these are following official visit weekends. So these kids, most of them we're talking about to commit, they came in and decided, you know, to make a decision after official visits. We also had Elijah Melendez just come on and kind of officially shut down his recruitment. He's been a kid that has been committed. He's been committed last year.
In November? Before
December. December 16th is where they got him listed as a commitment. So,
okay.
Been committed, you know, almost a year. It'll be obviously, we say a long time. It's a long time in today's game. So he's been committed for quite some time. Now, he is way more into that prototype of what we've had. Been bringing in the room lately, 6'2", 225 kid. And he just kind of, you know, it was a lot of, and I mean, granted, it is on his side, a lot of speculation of, you know, looking around, flirting a little bit. And I don't know if it was just him or the coaching staff or a combo of them both. He decided to come out and just be like, all right, you know, game over, no more questions. I'm a Hurricane.
Well, the story with him was he always was going to be a Hurricane, but he did commit early. So when it was time for him to take official visits, he wanted to do that. And what Mario said is it's okay if you want to take official visits, go ahead. But when you do this, we are looking also. You know what I'm saying? So that was the whole thing where some people got into their head that he probably won't stick because maybe Miami going to move on. And it was neither that. It's just the kid wanted to take official visits, you know what I'm saying, to make sure this is what he wants to do. You know what I'm saying? If you commit when you're in 11, in the 10th grade, you know what I'm saying? Shit, yeah. I want to take visits. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to have a little fun. You see your other homeboys coming back. They got the pictures and, you know what I'm saying? They showing you the little shorties pulled up on them. They showing you the food they ate, hopefully. Well, not every place you go. Sometimes they give you that slime ass mac and cheese and beanie weenies and shit. But when you do a Miami visit, you eating no free world steak and shrimp out here. You know what I'm talking about? Big lobster tails and whatnot, man. Yeah, some of these schools, bro. I know the people be like, they kids. I'm like, yeah, but let me tell you something about kids, bro. My family ain't got no money. My nephews and they like steak and shrimp. The kids don't want no damn hot dog at 18. Shit. I don't know what y'all talking about. You can try to lie to yourself talking about they kids. I'm around kids that age. They don't want no damn. They want what I'm eating. They want the steak with the lobster tail and asparagus with the creams of mashed potato. They want that. So you can lie to yourself talking about your school feeding kids and they want mac and cheese and macaroni salad. Nah, brother. I promise you, them kids looking at that plate like, what the fuck? What is this wedding reception ass shit you giving me? This hood ass wedding reception food. Nah, man, you got some game up, bro. Quit hating. Remember, Miami broke. Your broke ass need to spend some money too, man. If you got it, why don't you spend it?
You see, they keep them kids at what's it called? The Rusty Pelican? You see, they keep them out there, boy. That's it.
If that wasn't the move, why they keep going there? They would have learned by now, man. These kids ain't really rocking with this, bro. This is, man, them kids and they living. Man, I'm give me the talk.
All these visits, these kids going to Miami. I ain't seen a hot dog. I ain't seen a hamburger. They don't want none of that, man.
Them kids don't want them goddamn frozen patties come out the orange box. Y'all know them burgers.
them Flander burgers.
when they do feed the media, when they do feed us media folks, they don't give us no hot dogs and hamburgers. So I damn sure expect them not to give it to the kids.
Right. You trying to impress people. And you treating them how you want to be treated. I don't want to pull up and eat this bullshit, man. You give me this shit. I'm gonna say you could have just told me you didn't want me here, bro. You could have just said that. I don't want you told me come here and this quote-unquote food you got for me, man. Next time, I just won't show up. That's disrespectful, man. Yeah, y'all can try that shit. That shit funny as hell. I done seen that spin out there. They kids. Yeah, they kids. But one thing I'm going to tell you kids like is good food. I don't give a damn. Once they hit by 11, 12.
Damn, so.
Yeah. All them frozen pizzas and kid cuisines. And pizza rolls. Yeah, that shit. They starting to, because they seeing your plate. And going, wait a minute now. Hold on.
Don't. Don't let them go on a visit and they mom like to eat. Oh, that's bullshit. This. Oh yeah, let me capture this, man. Parents be in the car of the other school. Hey, yeah, we ain't doing this up here, man. These motherfuckers pulled out hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. Look like they pulled a whole bucket of water in it.
This watered down ass mac and cheese and runny bullshit. Yeah, nah, I'm out of here.
I don't want no Totino's pizza, no Little Caesars.
None
of that.
That's that bullshit they be giving me at the job. Like, well, not my new job. My old job used to be on that shit. I'm like, man, they think we is 12. What is this shit? They think that's supposed to be a bunch of
like, hey, the boys pull up with 5 hot and ready's. Hey, man, yeah. You go, knock all this shit off the table, man.
$40 worth of pizza. Don't disrespect me like that ever again in your life, man. Come out here with this bullshit, man. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Anyway, yeah, so that situation with him, he just went ahead and kind of announced that it's a done deal. Like I said, I don't blame him, man. You want to go and have some fun, go and, you know, get treated like a baddie for the weekend. Nothing wrong with that, man. All the rest of the homies doing. Yeah, you might as well go catch your 2 or 3 of them and then be like, all right, I'm done. I'm going, you know, going back to where I'm going anyway. So, all right, what we got following up after that? I believe chronologically next would be, so we have Marceline on the 23rd.
Chris Ewald was.
Buchanan. It was Max Buchanan. And then Chris Ewald. So Max Buchanan. Yep, the offensive lineman.
Yeah, Max Buchanan. Yeah, offensive lineman. Played for Sanford. Seminoles. Seminoles. I don't know why I say Sanford Seminoles. down in Sanford. Well, I guess it is a Sanford Seminoles, actually. 6'4", 275, interior offensive lineman. I'm pretty sure he's projected as a center, correct?
Yeah, he could play. He's an interior offensive lineman, could play both center and
center and guard. We're thinking.
You just got to look at it like this. Most of the guys that they're bringing in are going to play guard because they did a pretty good job getting tackles. And then we still have one more offensive lineman commit who we are going to bring in specifically for as a center. So. You know, as long as they're going to be interchangeable, they're going to play both positions.
Right. He wants your guard center. You know,
X just gave them people an exclusive, man.
And the writing's on the wall, man. Fine. You know the writing's on the wall.
I can only get that exclusive on 26 now. Don't catch it while it's hot.
Oh really? Hey, but you know what else is funny about this whole Max Buchanan commitment, right? Y'all know he visited Florida State 10 times. He was just on a podcast with Florida State writers and all that, like a day or two prior, and he took an OV right before, and he still committed to us. He was one of their top targets on the offensive line. Outside of Solomon Thomas, he was like right there. He was one of the ones they wanted to pair with Solomon Thomas. So this is a big get. You know what I'm saying? You don't see them talking about it, but oh yeah, it's a big get. Max Buchanan is like that.
Why didn't want to talk about it, Rob? It didn't go their way.
You already know.
That's how that go, right? Yep. But if it'll go the other way, see, that's why I say, man, don't pay these people no mind, man. Y'all go ahead and live your life, man. They're gonna be quiet when it don't go that way. When it don't go their way. Not a peep, not a whisper, nothing. You never even, they'll act like they never talked about, bro. Yeah, I know. He stayed on y'all campus, lived right there, and said, nah, I'm just bullshit. But hey.
Put his feet up on the coffee table.
Yes, sir. Drink your beer.
Everything.
He didn't put nothing back. He didn't replace one can, bro.
Nope. Drink he said, nah, you know what? I'm good. Appreciate you, though.
Sitting up with his side. That's all, you know. The side got their purpose. Sitting up with his side, man. But, yeah, I know. We'll get back into that just a little bit. So, yeah, Max, we brought in basically. Yeah, we got to. That's kind of the thing with most of this line. Most of what they brought in for the most part is tackle body types. Some guys that we definitely think could kick inside. Like your what's big dude name? They call him Bruno, kid that committed to Florida and then flipped and went ahead and got his mind right.
Tommy, not Kinsler.
Kinsler, yeah, Kinsler.
Yep.
Yeah, you're looking at a lot of, you know, we either have those kind of body types or the guys that kind of look to honestly be pure tackles. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, when you hear some talk about Miley Noah, there is talk to him maybe his best position being guard ultimately. I think this season will go a long way to see what he got to say about that. If he is going to really be a next level tackle or guard, I guess we'll get an opportunity to kind of get a better picture of that, especially this season. If you got to remember, he was a true freshman. Like, this ain't no, this was a baby. This was an 18-year-old, 19-year-old going out there and starting football in the ACC. So, you know, we'll see ultimately what he develops. And I hear some people kicking him inside. I think it's a little early, though. I like to see this season play out a little bit more before I decide that, you know, his final home will be on the interior. He's a big boy too, though. So, but you can, and definitely with that body type and the kind of the nastiness he plays with. He's 275 right now. His body composition is he's got an athletic frame. At that size, man, he's got size on him, but yeah, you get him in the college weight room, give him those 2 years, three, you know, by year three, you're probably looking at 6'4", 300, and a guy that would be looking to line up either, you know, I think ultimately center, but maybe not, maybe kick out the guard. Either way, I think he'll do well at either position, just from having the opportunity to. I skimmed through his huddle to look at him. I like his finish. So, got thrown locked in. All right, and then following Buchanan. And I like his social media presence too. He's like a fun kid, man. Kind of hang around. You know, he did a little bit. He did the little videos. Like, he's the first recruit to take Bright Line to official visit. So he hopped on the Bright Line. Probably in Orlando is what I'm thinking. And then just shot the line down to Miami. I ain't rode the Bright Line yet. Either one of y'all rode the Bright Line yet?
Nah, not yet. I'm
trying. Nah, I haven't.
I was getting ready to, actually, my homeboy was getting married. Quick little side story. My homeboy's getting married, one of my best friends. And he lived down in St. John's, Virgin Islands. And so when I went to book, they had like an all-inclusive. And at the time when he, you know, was giving me the quote or whatever, I said, cool. And I told him, you know, I thought I only had to put down like $300 or $400. And they said, well, we have to have the whole flight money now plus this. I said, okay, let me call you back next week. I get paid. I had the additional cash to just pay it all out. So just cancel it. Well, it turns out, long story a little less long, they didn't cancel it. They put it on hold. So when I came back and paid the balance, I didn't have a flight. The flight gets canceled. The flight gets canceled if you don't book it right away. So, you know, it gets canceled out of the package. So turns out I didn't damn have my damn ticket. Ended up missing my best friend's wedding because of that shit. I was a tear. I was 500 degrees. I tried to get on that Bright Line, man, to try to shoot down to Miami and catch a flight. It just, nothing was going to get me there on time. It looked kind of fly, man. I do want to ride it. Pause one time. Oh, that sounds crazy.
Boy,
that is insane. I would like to travel via Bright Line down to Miami at some point. I'm certainly going to do it just to check the experience. It ain't particularly cheap, though, so I'm like, what's the benefit over flying? Now, I think probably the benefit would be comfort. So I'm definitely going to try it just to see what it's like. I think you'll get a little more room to stretch out and everything on a train versus a plane. But it gets you there quick. You still got to go out to the airport. So, you know, it's similar, but it's going to be a little bit different. Anyways. All right, so next up on the list, Chris Ewald, tremendous get, I think. All things considered, position of need, especially for this cycle, we really got to continue to improve that secondary. You know, Georgia made it interesting by all accounts. You know, again, salute to the staff, man, the job they do, because it's Georgia. So that's going to always be tempting right now. Right now, Georgia running things. And I'll be honest with you, Ewall was on their board, but he was further down. He was further down. So, but still, man, when they come knocking with that red and black home right now, it's a good look. So, salute to the staff, man, for playing whatever they had to on that to get them in the boat. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you so funny, right? Because I think I was in a space last, well, I don't know, I think it was last year when I told them we would get Chris Ewald, right? And the reason why I told everybody why a lot of schools going to come hollering at him is because this man literally had to guard JoJo and JJ in practice every day for the last year. So I was like, teams is saying basically, he got to be good. You know what I'm saying? Because he guarded these niggas every day for 3 years. And then when you go to their practice, he wasn't trying to guard a receiver that way. He was trying to guard JJ and JoJo. And that's his game. Like, he tried to get to their best receiver and guard him. I was already confident. I've been told everybody he was coming. I was confident. Yeah, Georgia did make it interesting. Like you said, that's Georgia. They on top of the game right now. Kirby come calling. Both of your ears is to the phone and you listen hard, like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shouts out to Coach Chavis Jackson. He did his thing at the end, man. He did his thing. Well, I ain't going to say at the end. He did his thing. Because
he made sure we closed.
Yeah. Because at the end, you know, people don't realize, keep remembering that we did lose Coach Adak. So a lot of the DBs that were recruiting, we had to kind of like double back to introduce ourselves all over again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, it might take some real heavy recruiting to land some of these guys because they don't know Chavis Jackson. But he did come in and he did an excellent job. Shouts out to him for pulling it off, along with Amari Wallace. And then we ain't done. We about to stick it to some teams. They gonna hate us in a little bit.
For sure. obviously X was talking about Chaminade kid. So you've been around a great program guarding great wide receivers. Little on the slight side right now, 6'1", 165. But the coverage skills are there, the technical skills are there. You just got to continue to physically develop, physically mature, and that'll just come with some age and college weight room and nutrition. You know, anytime you beating out Georgia for a player, you're doing something right. So, you know, again, shout out to the whole staff on that. That was a much needed get, you know, to pair up with. Right now we got Timothy Merritt. I actually like this kid film a lot. We didn't really get into because of just timing wise or whatever, but the corner out of Birmingham, you pair him, Wallace, and Ewald, and now you're starting to look pretty decent in that secondary. We still got to add more pieces, but I like the foundation there. I think you got some real good pieces there to get going to start off with. So
Merritt, I'm shaky about. You know what I'm saying? I'm shaky. I was shaky about his commitment for one because it happened real fast. And then other schools started reaching out. And when that stuff started happening, normally 9 times out of 10, that kid does not stick with that program. So I was shaky.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit and wait. I'm shaky on it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't happy like everybody else because one thing about these out of town kids, man. When a school in their state come calling, they go. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that's different from us.
Yeah. He did visit Tennessee and Arkansas. You know, after he visited us. So he had an opportunity to peep around a little bit. But I'm with you, out of state, especially, you know, Alabama is definitely a hard, you know, call. He does have an Alabama offer right now, I believe. Now, you know, again, where is he on the pecking order right now? And do they kind of that changes things kind of where they may swing back around? And, you know, some of these kids don't have no ego about it, you know, where they just like, that's cool, coach. I get it. It took you a minute, but you're here now. Well, yeah, I'm going to rock out with the home team. So we'll see if we can continue. But I like his frame. He's playing across from like the number one corner in the country as well. So yeah. He's getting a little more action and he seems to be standing up fairly well there. What are you going to say, Rob?
Yeah, I was about to say, he held his own. Also, Tennessee, like I said, I was iffy with the Tennessee visit, and Tennessee was pushing, but he didn't do nothing. And then, like I think a couple of days later, they brought another cornerback in and they got him to commit. So I don't know if, I'm not saying he's probably going to stop getting recruited, but I take that as a positive sign. They didn't get him to flip, and then like the following week or whatever, they pressed another corner and they got that other corner to flip. And the other corner they got is not. I mean, they're both three stars, but he's not as highly ranked as Merritt. So, I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay
you're
with
watching.
That. But,
yeah, you're watching. You know.
Yeah, I like how it's shaping up. Yeah, I say, and the last cornerback we got out of Alabama was pretty damn good for us, Michael Jackson. Yeah. So.
Yeah, not bad at all. All right, and then to wrap up where we're at so far, one time for the home team. 9-1-2, stand the fuck up. We got us one, man. Herbert Scroggins out of BC, Benedictine Military School. It was always one of the better football schools we had back home. And, you know, Savannah, like I told you, we ain't never really been repping in football like that, but it's getting better and better. You know, I'm proud of the city, man. The talent level continues to rise. You know, you're seeing a lot more D1 offers, SEC offers. These guys are, you know, they've really elevated the floor of football back home. So that's really dope to see. The Florida State quarterback, Croman Hawk, he's from BC as well. So, you know, for the city, man, it's doing a hell of a lot better. But love this kid. He'll be playing edge for us, like I say, 6'2", 235. A lot of people thought Auburn might get him. Matter of fact, it was kind of almost damn near foregone that it was going to be Auburn until the visit. So he took his visit, and kind of the immediate returns on that was, yeah, he got a lot to think about, and it turns out it didn't take him long to think about it. And he decided to go to Miami. And I told people, you know, on the last show, I was like, I'm pretty confident in the Savannah kids. You know, we're looking at him. Elijah Griffin is on our board as high as well. And
Walter Mathis.
Walter Mathis, thank you. All defensive linemen out of Savannah. Different schools, but all out of Savannah. And I told y'all on the last show, I was like, being from Savannah, I can tell you these kids are probably going to be more intrigued by Miami than going out in the country and all, just in generally speaking. Just because I know how it is culturally back home. I just don't see that they're not going to find the most comfort sitting up in Athens and, you know, Auburn, Alabama. So we'll see. One down, hopefully two to go. Those three are close friends. They all kick it. So, you know, maybe we could pray for a little influence there, bring in Elijah Griffin and Walter Mathis. You know, Mathis, he's a three-star, but his offer list is nice. So, you know, I think he got an Auburn visit set up, Clemson. His kid's he's a real deal as well. So, we won for three so far on Savannah, man, you know. Y'all know your boy praying on 3-for-3. I got some people back home. See what I can do, man. You know what I mean? And I don't know what's off the books no more with the NIL shit. You probably make a lot happen now. So I'm going to do the best I can, man. See if we can go 3-for-3 there. But yeah, that wraps up where we are currently with recruiting. That's the class as of now. Like I said, ranked number 16 with 14 commitments. I'm still looking top five by the time we get done with this whole thing. But that's just where it sits right now. X told us it was coming. was about to get the ball's about to start rolling, you know, as we roll into the season, and it has. And like I said, we get ready to go into the season now. So I know we a couple of guys that I guess you could say we, I don't know if you want to call them miss, but guys we were in on that decided to go a different direction. Who's a wide receiver we were just talking about? Mills?
Cortez Mills.
Yeah.
He dropped the commitment date. He dropped the commitment date of July 1st. The finalist is Nebraska, LSU, Florida, and it's one more. I can't remember. It's one more other one. I already said LSU.
You know, it was a canceled visit, so usually to me that kind of tells me usually it's a little bit mutual. It's probably a phone call or two that was said, you know, hey, we think we're going to go in a different direction. And, you know, all right, cool. I'm thinking going over here too. So, he decided to go, to cancel that. So that didn't happen for us. I still think we got other wide receivers higher on the board that they feel really good about. Even some that, you know, like I know a lot of people got French already penciled into Texas. I just wouldn't do that just yet. Just kind of wait and see some of this play out. But was there another name was mentioned?
Joshua Moore.
Who ended up committing
Florida. He ended up committing to Florida.
That's right.
Yeah, he
both guys you mentioned, Miami, they was on Miami board, but they wasn't very high. Miami actually stopped recruiting Cortez Mills, which was something dumb. I thought they should have kept recruiting them regardless. But yeah, they still feel confident about the top guys that they want. And then they got a plan B, I guess, also.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see, because if you feel like it was dumb, then I'm with you. I'm with you when you're right.
If the
top wide receiver in South Florida wants to come, you say hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if three other top receivers out of the state wants to come. You say I'm taking him. You know what I'm saying? That's just smart. But that's just.
Yes, they offered the 5-star receiver that was committed to Ole Miss, Jerome Miles. They offered him, and now he's supposed to take a visit. The last week, I can't remember where they said it was. I can't remember it was. He's going to take a visit, but he's trying to fit in how he can get down to Miami because he's interested. So, I mean, I'm not putting too much stock into it. I mean, but I do see that they are kind of expanding the board just a little bit of some other options. And I don't think we need to go wide receiver heavy this year anyway. I think if we can bring in two of the best, I think it will be okay because the 2026 class that's a great class, especially South Florida for wide receivers.
We're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. What we're gonna do is we're gonna keep bringing in the top players every year. If we can load up with top three top receivers each year, do it. We gotta get out of that. We gotta
get that
every year. If you want to get to Georgia depth, you want to get to Alabama depth, guess what? Recruit great every year, so you don't have to worry about all that. Well, we can wait till next year to get fuck that. Get them this year too.
Yeah, but the reason why I say that is because currently we got 11 wide receivers on the roster, right? So more than likely, you're probably gonna lose at least three because you got George, you got Restrepo, and you got Redding.
You're losing four. You're losing Samuel Brown. You're losing Jacoby George. You're losing Restrepo. You're losing Michael Redding. You're losing four. So you gotta recruit. You gotta keep bringing them in.
I mean, matriculation is gonna happen. So yeah, you do the best you can. I see what you're saying too, though, Rob. Like, is it our priority?
And with the portal too.
This cycle, yeah, and then you got the portal too. So it's weird, you know. But you don't get a lot of top flight wide receivers coming out of the portal per se. Unless they like don't really develop into like their third year. And then it's like, all right, my stock up. So now I'm gonna get up out of here. But we'll see how that continues to develop. I think we'll do fine in the wide receiver class. I would like, you know, three top flight guys, you know, in this particular cycle. But we'll kind of close up with this, man, and then we'll get on out of here. So now the NCAA is getting out of their own way again and kind of making something official that's kind of always been happening unofficially. And now you got unlimited coaches. You know, people was like, oh, the small schools and stuff. I was like, not really, because it's not no more than they already were, put it that way. They're going to suffer just as much as they was, because these all field guys were already doing coaching. It's just they weren't supposed to. So now
they were coaching in practice, but now they're coaching the game. Yeah, they can assist in the game now.
I think the way the small schools suffer is by having a coach that's actually a good coach, who can actually come and get a coaching room now with a big university and get that same pay or even more.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? You go, go FIU, and you say, okay, well, shit, they got a good coach in that DB room. Let me take them and add them to our room. You know what I'm saying? He's a pretty good coach. So now what you have is two coaches, or you know, more coaches on field. You got one who specifically can coach, and then you got one who specifically coach and recruit.
Right. That's smart. Yeah, and if this happens, you know, previously, then we probably don't lose to Marcus Van Dyke, which I know he's a fan favorite. But, you know, DVD had to kind of roll the dice on himself some because of how, you know, the format laid out. So he couldn't get, you know, like I said, X-Men, like the money that he probably should be getting, because they couldn't technically hire him on as a coach. And it wouldn't make sense to administration, but once they coaches, it makes a little more sense. So yeah, it allows that opportunity. I didn't even think about that. That's a great point. Well, yeah, you'll probably, these smaller schools, I mean, but this is the thing, like, we just got to get realistic. These smaller schools are probably eventually, I think some of these schools are going to end up just losing football in the next 20 years because it just won't pan out. It just won't make sense. They'll just be dumping in and losing money because they won't be able to create the revenue. You know, these smaller schools do still create revenue from their football programs. But, yeah, as they continue to tank and go down because of the portal and because of the fact that you could go coach all their coaching and load them all up on one staff, yeah, I think the reality is some of these schools are going to have to just step away from football altogether. That's the way of the world, man.
Especially when they jump into that two big major conference league, is that shit.
Right. Where you going to fit?
Why are we even playing football when shit don't matter? You know what I'm saying? What we playing for?
Exactly. Only way, you know, it'll be weird, bro. They would damn have to start like a farm system down there with a bigger university, give them money to be like, hey,
develop
these boys for us for a couple of years. Or, you know, then we'll come back and take them, you know what I'm saying, when they ready to get some weight on them, feed them right and everything, and then we'll be back in a year or two.
That's kind of like what me and Streeter was saying like years ago, basically. You know how everybody got like the semi-pro lead and all that, you know, and basically college football was that to the NFL. But now, this is basically what you're going to have in college when you have the smaller schools developing the players and then the big schools come pick them up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
and
it's
like, they'll feed the NFL. Exactly. So, yeah, the structure's changing. The game going to remain the same in a lot of ways, but the structure, the infrastructure will change quite a bit, I believe. So,
and you want to know the funny thing is, a lot of the older folks saying they don't like what's happening to college football. And I'm saying the reason why y'all don't like it is because everything is out in the open now. All the shit right. That everybody's doing, they've been doing this shit under tables and all this slick cheating shit, but now that it's out in the open and everybody else can do it too, that's what y'all right. Like. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, I get it. You don't like it because guess what? Everybody else can do it now. You
can do it now, right? Look at, yeah.
What's the school in SMU? They raise I think they had the highest raised money as far as the collective. Just imagine they doing that shit every year. Next you know, everybody gonna be like, well, shit, SMU is doing what they did when they got did Eric Dixon.
Right.
You gotta think about it. It's in the heart of Dallas.
Everybody just ain't nobody talking about them or any other school. All they keep saying is Miami paying. Get the fuck out of here. If y'all say we was paying motherfuckers back then, you think we ain't got the money to pay motherfuckers now?
That's wishful thinking, bro. That's what I be telling people. It just be wishful thinking, man. You can hope and hate, just like everybody think Alabama over. Not so fast, my friend. I got to see. I'm not just going to cash that ticket just because Saban go. Yeah, he was obviously built it, but it's built now. I said for years, shit, I can go coach Alabama next. It's already running. It don't mean much. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not counting them people out just because he going, yeah, I got to see it. People got a lot of wishful thinking, hoping that this whole thing just going to crumble down. Alabama down years is two losses. That's a down year for Ben.
Yeah.
Two losses is a bad year for them right now.
Hey, Larry,
don't count that chicken yet.
I'm telling you, I was telling people, man, I was like, I hate to say it, but if Kalen DeBoer offense do what they did at Washington, boy, it's a lot of teams in trouble, boy. Whoo! It's a lot of teams that's going to be in trouble because that boy can scheme. He can scheme up some shit, boy. He can scheme up offense. And he's still landing. He's landing the same shit Nick would have been landing while he was there. So, is it the logo? Probably so. Yeah, probably so. But as far as when it comes to coaching, as far as like an offense, oh man, that's his bread and butter. And I'm telling you, man.
They still doing an excellent job. But again, like I say, I'm excited about the way college football is. For one, I'm happy that the players are starting to get their notoriety where they can get paid for what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I've been sick and tired of players sweating, blood, sweat, and tears and shit, and then the university the one making billions of dollars and then telling them, oh, well, at least we feeding you.
What the fuck? Right.
Feed me? Yeah. Goddamn, like, that's what y'all...
I'm giving a lot more than worth food, bro. Like, get out of here. Because especially, you got to remember, a lot of these guys, it's going to be it for them. This will be the final glory. So it would be great for them to be able to capitalize on this moment and then maybe turn that into something else down the line. Because most of these guys aren't going to go on and make millions of dollars in the NFL. But, hey, what if they make a couple of million in college and then they're able to start successful businesses from that? You know, that would be an amazing opportunity. So I don't got no problem with that. I tell you, the only thing I worry about as an old head when it comes to football, it's only one thing. I don't come to grips with everything else that's changed about the game. I only worry about classic rivalries as these mega conferences grow. That's the only major concern I got. I'm like, bro, I really don't want to see all our great rivalries go out the window because they literally can't pull it off because of the size of these conferences. So that worries me some that we may end up losing that. It just won't be quite as fun without some of these classic rivalries. And I fear that could happen as these conferences continue to grow. But we'll see. I mean, hell, who knows, man? As it grows, the shit might turn into a 16-game system. It might be an NFL. It might follow the NFL prototype.
Hey, Larry, I was telling people, man, don't be surprised in about like 10 years where we're going to be playing all the Florida schools on a yearly basis, bro. We're going to play UCF, USF, Florida State. We're going to play all of them, man.
FIU and FAU would be out like our weekend games. That'd be like your soft game. No more Georgia Southern or FAMU or whatever, not like that. You're going to be like, nah, we got to play the big dogs. No BC, no, you know. Our little games, and that's what I think would possibly happen is because, as these conferences grow, you won't be afforded the cupcake game. Your cupcake game now is going to be FIU. Which ain't no cupcake, but that's as weak as we're going to be able to get for you because of the way your conference schedule is going to have to play out. So we'll see as it continues to evolve. I think we'll see all us going to see that in our lifetime where you may see something like that, man. It'll be the Florida division. You never know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how it just continues to evolve. But anyways, that's it, man. We're going to get up out of here. We appreciate y'all kicking it with us. I know X in motion. We done ran a little long today.
I'm good.
Oh no, nah, I got it.
I
mean,
it's all good. 26 degrees on Twitter, man. We gonna get more on point, man. You know, it's football season to come back, so we definitely gonna be more on point. Y'all follow that. You know, y'all continue to follow me on Twitter, whatever. Caneville, you know what I'm saying? I actually got some stuff cooking up, man, that I did 2 weeks ago. I ain't drop it just yet, but I'm gonna drop it pretty soon. Shit, football season here, man. That team in the swamp, ass on the clock, man. Y'all take this L.
TikTok, motherfucker.
shout out to Luke, man. Shout out to Luke, Uncle shout Luke himself.
Shout out to Uncle Luke
for the follow. Appreciate you.
We gotta always give Uncle Luke his flowers, man. Every day we can, man, because he's a pioneer.
Absolutely, that's a fact.
You know, as much as the idiotic Kane fans don't want to acknowledge, Uncle Luke basically was there to start UM culture. You know what I'm saying? So right. Shout out to Uncle Luke, man. I always give Uncle Luke his flowers, man, musically and in Miami sports.
Yeah, he was there from the get-go. Like you said, a lot of what you love, he was a part of setting that foundation. So, you know, you might get irritated with a take or two. I do. But I still show respect because I know who the guy is and was, and you know, and will continue to be in the future to the program. Speaking of, I know some of y'all hollered at me about doing other content. So be on the lookout, man. Me and CJ cooking up a little something, man, for the season two. So, you know, for those who missed me and CJ being on the roll up, we got a little something in the works, man. Should be coming to y'all right around football season too. So more content in general. You can find us out there, man. You know, if everybody listening is, like I said, I know y'all the same nerds as we is when it comes to this football shit. So just more for you to consume, man. It's almost there, baby. I know you can smell the grass, man. I know you feel the sun beaming on your skin, bruh. We almost there, man. Anyways, until said time, man, we will be back with y'all. We appreciate this happening, and we up out of here. Peace.
Peace.
Alright, peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.